Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he,
verse together with this poor lisping stammering tongue. Come on, church, sing that with us.
When this poor lisping stammering tongue, my silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song,
sing about your power to save. We sing about your goodness. The best we have to offer is like that last verse says, a poor lisping stammering tongue in your presence. But God, we sing of your power, your grace, your mercy. May we live an overflow of thanksgiving today. We pray this, that you'd speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would move among us and bring revival today because of your word, not because of any fancy words that we have, but your word. God, speak to us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. We're going to be multiple places in the scripture today, so you might want to just take a pen and paper and write the verses to follow along as we go, because I'm going to move quickly. It's a different type message. We have been working through the book of James, but we're not in James today. In fact, we have made it to chapter 5, and there are three more messages in our series entitled Essential Practical Faith from the book of James. However, we're finished with James for now. We will pick up and finish the last three messages in February of 2021. That seems like a long way away, but I promise you, it'll be just like that. So for today, a special message about gratefulness, and then we move right into our new series next week. Please invite a friend to participate next week, to watch online, to come and be with us as we begin this brand new series called The Thrill of Hope. And we have so much to find hope in. But for today, this idea of giving thanks comes straight from the heart of God. Back this summer, we did our special series called Summer Praylist, and we spent a week on Thanksgiving, and we talked about the fact that there are over 100 Bible verses that command us to give thanks. Over and over it says it. There was a quote we used this summer from Max Lucado. I want to give it to you again. He said this: if quantity implies gravity, then God takes thanksgiving seriously. Let me say it again. If quantity implies gravity, God takes thanksgiving seriously. Think about it this way. If quantity of verses, over 100 Bible verses about giving thanks, implies gravity, the importance of that truth, then God takes thanksgiving very seriously. I want to give you just a few verses about of the 100 about thanksgiving. Here they are. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, last week, we talked about some people who want to find God's specific will and how James tells us that it is the will of God to do certain things. Well, can I say to you that right here, if you're looking for God's will, look no further. 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that it is the will of God that we give thanks. So if you want to find God's will, be thankful. Find things to be thankful for. Psalm 107:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Some people's love is not steadfast. Some people's love is for a season, for a time, or until you just do something wrong. But God's love for you is steadfast. It is continual. It's constant. Amen? Come on now. That's good. It endures forever. There is nothing you can do that would make God's love for you not endure. It would make him stop and say, I changed my mind about this one. I changed my mind about Chris. It's amazing because I've done some knuckleheaded things. Any of you? Am I the only knucklehead in the room? Anybody? If you're a knucklehead, point at him. I'm just kidding. Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. And so for you to also realize that there's nothing you've ever done for God to say, my love for you no longer endures. I'm done. That's amazing. That is amazing. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says to give thanks in the name of the Lord. Because of what Jesus has done for me and you, we can give thanks. It's based off of what Jesus has done for us. Colossians 3:15 through 17 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs like we did today, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What do you see here? It's thankfulness in your heart because of the words of Christ. The more you have the words of Christ dwell in you richly, the more thankful you will be. It's a proven point. The more you will invest in God's word and let his words dwell richly in you, it has to lead to thanksgiving. One verse from James, as we've been studying, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Again, God is constant. He does not change, but every good thing that's ever happened in your life came from
him. I remember watching the old Jimmy Stewart movie from many years ago called Shenandoah. Some of you may remember that movie. It's a great movie, but I remember at one part they're sitting around the dinner table, he and his family, and he was kind of a crotchety old fella, and they decided to have the blessing for the food. And in his prayers, he basically says, God, I thank you for this food we're eating, though truthfully, I worked the garden and I'm the one that got it here. And God, I thank you for this, though really it was me. And I thank you for that, though really it was me. Listen, sometimes I'm afraid that becomes the attitude. We'd never say it like Jimmy Stewart said it, but that becomes the attitude of our prayers, that somehow we had something to do with any bit of the goodness in our life. Can I tell you, you didn't work until God gave you the strength to do it. You didn't perform your job till God gave you the wisdom to be able to do it. In fact, you didn't get out of bed this morning till God gave you the ability to do it. And know this, if you're breathing in, he's breathing out. God gives your life. He's the sustainer of life. Aren't you thankful that God gives you life? Well, I'm thankful that he gives life. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. That's a little bitty phrase that is really hard to live. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It links supplication, asking God for things, and thanksgiving. The two go hand in hand. The more we're thankful, the easier it is to come to God to ask. And the more we ask, the more we should realize what we have to be thankful for. Psalm 106 says, praise the Lord. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The next psalm, the psalm before it, Psalm 105, says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. As we pray, you link it to thanksgiving. You really shouldn't have a prayer time without thankfulness. And prayer always leads to thankfulness. Psalm 30:12 says, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him and bless his name. Isaiah 12, we're almost done, says in verses 4 and 5, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim the name that is exalted, sing praise to the Lord, for he has done gloriously, let this be made known in all the earth. What does that say? You need to let the peoples know about the thankfulness and the goodness and the glory of God. What peoples? Your peoples. Who are your peoples? The people you work with, the people you serve with, the people you play with, the people you live with, the people you mow your lawn next to, who live next door to you, the people you find at the store, the people around the other side of the world. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Two more verses. 1 Chronicles 29:13. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And Philemon 1:4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Told you guys, I keep a gratitude journal every day, write down some things I'm thankful for. And I would say almost all of you have already made it onto my list. I try to think of different folks every day in our faith family and add them to that list. I'm just thankful for you. If you haven't made it yet, you'll get there. I just haven't had time to get to everyone yet. But I hope that you know to be thankful when you remember people in your prayers for what they've done. How do we sum all this up? We could keep going, but we won't for time's sake. Just know this, God's grace toward us always leads to thankfulness. Did God forgive you this week for something you did you shouldn't have? Let yourself be thankful. God's glory revealed to us always leads to thankfulness. Do you see the sunrise any day this week? Did you see the beautiful clear skies? I love this time of year. This is my favorite time of year to see the stars and constellations. These are my favorites that show up here in the beginning of the winter time and in the winter time. Beautiful, clear, multiple times, the heavens display the glory of God. You've seen the Gunnersville sunset over the lake this week? That'll lead to thanksgiving. So much to be thankful. God's sovereignty over us always leads to thankfulness. No matter what comes your way, the good, the bad, the difficult. We had church members that had to bury family members today. We had we've had others that have seen in their family new life that was born. God's sovereignty in all of that. We see him. We see him at work. And then God's love for us always leads to thankfulness, to see what he's done for us. So can I sum it up by saying this? If you're not walking in thanksgiving, if you're not someone who is thankful, every now and then we'll meet someone that's pretty sour, that doesn't have much. They've always got to complain about things, doesn't have much to be thankful for. Can I say, if that's you and you're never thankful, you are ignoring the very God who gave you life. So if you're writing things down, write this down. Simple phrase, you are blessed. You're blessed. Are you blessed? I got one pastor friend up in Grant that every time I call him just to check on him to see how he's doing, I'll say, how are you doing? He'll say, I'm blessed by the best and I'm too blessed to be stressed. And it goes on and on and on. He's got this big long, it's a good phrase. I'm thinking, man, okay, you're good. So the truth, can I say to you, you are blessed by the best. We are blessed by God and what he has done in our lives. So I would remind you that you are blessed and not forget that. But let's build on that idea of blessing. Not only are you blessed, what are you blessed specifically for? Three things really quickly. Number one, we are blessed to live in a nation of freedom and opportunity. Amen? Listen, we are blessed to live in the United States of America. We're very blessed. In fact, 5 years ago, I read something to you that I want to read again. I don't think many of us remember it from 5 years ago, but I want to read it again. George Washington, on October the 3rd, 1789, penned these words. These words have been around a while, but these words are so powerful. Listen to what George Washington wrote. It's a Thanksgiving proclamation. He says, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. That's powerful. Look what else he says. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, capital B, God, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, of all the good that is, and all the good that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the civil and religious liberty for which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors for which God hath pleased to confer upon us. And one last paragraph George Washington wrote. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially those that have shown us kindness, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. Can somebody please send that to our national leaders now? What an incredible thing to be written, a proclamation by our first president. We think about, goodness, the division in on the national scale and even down to state scale and other scale. There are some good godly people in leadership in different roles, but the reality is we need to pray for all of our leaders to have this idea of thanksgiving and thankfulness for who we are and what we are about. We have some things to complain about concerning our government. I understand that, and I realize that, but we are so blessed to live in this country. Amen? We are blessed to live here. So would you join me into taking just a moment to thank God for our nation, to pray for its people, to pray for its leaders, to pray for our grand purpose? We'll stop right now and pray. Let's pray together. Father God, we sincerely thank you for the privilege to be a part of the United States of America. Lord, we're not placing this earthly residence above your eternal kingdom. But Father, we understand in your sovereignty and grace, you allowed us to be born here and live here. So Father, thank you for the freedoms we have received. And Father, I pray that we as a nation would turn back to you. That those that walk in lewdness or lawlessness or impurity or pride or envy or any, Lord, that we would all turn back to you. Father, for those that don't know you, that they would come to know you. For the many believers in this nation, that we would live in such a way that we're a light to those around us, and we do help this make this nation the greatest one on earth, that we might be a blessing to the world, that we would take the benefits we have of the freedom of worship. We may not always have that, but we have it right now, so may we use it and utilize it in how we live. Father, we pray for our president current. We pray for our president future. We pray for our civic leaders. Father, we pray for our state leaders. We pray for our local leaders. Lord, may we make wise choices that follow after you. Lord, would you bring revival in the White House and bring revival in the church house and bring revival in my house? Bring revival in our city and bring revival in the great cities all across this nation. And Lord, let it begin in the lives of believers who will humbly seek you and with the prayer of thanksgiving, ask you to change us and make us more like you. That's our prayer, Father. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen. That's our prayer. Would you keep praying? Join me in being thankful and praying for our nation. But not only are we blessed to live in this great nation, we are also blessed to have access to the Bible. Now, you might think that one should have come first, but there's a reason I put it second. We'll talk about it in a moment. But we're not only blessed to live where we are, to have the freedoms to access a Bible, we also are blessed to have a Bible. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The translation I memorized this in years ago says it judges the thoughts and actions of the heart. Well, the actions of your heart are the attitudes of your heart. So it tells us the word of God is alive. It doesn't mean the paper is alive. It doesn't mean the computer chip in your phone that you have your Bible is alive. It means those words, the truth from Genesis to Revelation, it's alive and it's living and active, and it meets people where they are, and it transforms us and it points people to Jesus and it changes us. The word of God reveals truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's not talking about the pastor, the man of God. It's talking about you, me, all of us, the men and women of God. That the word of God is there that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So friends, we want to be thankful for the Bible. How many copies are in this room alone? I've got a Bible on my phone. I've got a Bible right here in person. The phone is in person, but a paper copy. You may have your bound copy with you. You may have it on a phone. You may have a tablet. You may have it on your watch. All kinds of ways. There's hundreds of copies of the Bible probably in this room alone. If you were to step outside this door and hop into my office, just there's one door away, you would probably easily find 30 Bibles in there that all belong to me. Different types of Bibles, study Bibles, translations, special editions, all kinds of things there you'll find of mine. We are gifted and blessed to have the Bible. And do you realize that as of this week, I checked again, the number changes, thankfully, often grows, but there are 704 languages that have the Bible in the total form from Genesis to Revelation. 704 languages of the world that the Bible is in complete written or computer form. That's wonderful. That means about 5 billion people have access to the Bible through one of those 704 major languages. That's wonderful. But do you realize that there are still over 1,800 people groups that do not have one single word of the Bible in their language? No one's written it down. Not one. That there are almost 2,100 languages that are used, dialects and languages used in our world that still only have a part of the scripture, maybe part of the New Testament or just the book of John, but not all of it. There are over 1.3 billion with a B, billion people who do not have access to a Bible in their language. And then here's the kicker of all. Even though there are some that have one in their language, there are still, we believe, a good estimate of over 3 billion people walking around planet Earth right this minute, over 3 billion that have never heard a single word of the Bible. But I've got 30 in my office. We have copies in this room. People at home, you can hop online and find it so easy. Listen, my prayer is that wouldn't make us feel bad. My prayer is that it would motivate us to see that the Bible gets other places. But I pray that it would also help us to be thankful for the Bible access we have. Now, for the next thing you write down, you know it already. I don't even have to say it. Let's take a little test. The best way to show gratitude for your Bible is what? Read it. Is to read it. Read your Bible. Now, that seems like a simple point for a message from a 140-year-old church and a Southern Baptist church in the Bible Belt where you think you'd want a more difficult and more complicated message. But I can't make it any simpler than that. Read your Bible. If you're thankful for it, read it. If you're thankful for it, don't sit it on your coffee table. Don't put it on the drawer. Don't stick it in the desk. Don't bring it to church as a trophy. Read it. Read God's word. Read what he has for us. We are so blessed to have it. And then let's pray and let's give and let's go until everyone has a chance to read it or hear it or know it. So not only are we blessed to live where we live, to have the freedoms we do, not only are we blessed to have a Bible and the freedom to read it and then to share it, but also, friends, we are blessed with resources. We are so blessed with resources. You are. I am. Everybody came in here wearing clothes. That's a good thing, by the way. That's one of our rules. We talk about in our Next Steps class, what's our dress code? And we simply always said this, the dress code for our church is this. Wear something. That's the code. That's all we want people to do. Wear something. And the reality is you have clothes. So is that a resource? Yes, you're blessed. I would venture to say there's probably not any person in this room that is wearing your only pair of clothes. We're blessed. Do you realize if you have more than one pair of clothes, you are living like in the top half of the people of the world? I could go on and on. I don't think anybody came in here barefoot. We have shoes. A lot of us have more than one pair of shoes. Now, I'm not going to ask some of y'all to confess how many you have. We could play just as I am, Jenny, and have everybody. If you got more than 30 pairs of shoes, raise your hand. Don't do it. Don't tell on yourself. But the truth is, whatever. That's okay. But what I'm saying is, would you stop and be thankful for what you have? Be thankful with the resources we have. And then can I encourage you, invest those resources in the kingdom of God? This is nothing new or earth-shattering. It's just a simple reminder for us. How do we invest our resources? There's several ways. A simple, easy way you can start is by investing in your local church, by tithing, by giving, by being a part. Not so we can just have more money, but I want you to think about what happens when you give and I give and you give and you give and we all give, everyone in this room and in the first service and those participating online and those out today but will be here next week. Hundreds of people who give together, cooperate together for a kingdom's purpose. There's something special about that. Where else do people do that? It's a blessing to be able to come together to make a difference, to live generously so that God's kingdom can be benefited, so that it can be expanded, so that missionaries can do what they're called to, so local people can get the help that they need. I would encourage you, maybe for you individually, you want to be a part of giving to one of our local mission partners. Listen, Advance 2021 is coming January 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We will have our missions conference. It will be socially distanced. We've got a plan. It's in the works, and we'll tell you more about that soon. But I want you to understand, for our mission partners, we have some incredible partners who were great with the resources you have and that I have that we give to them. And be reminded that by you giving to our mission partners, your money can go where you will never be able to go. What a blessing that is for us to be able to do. Let me name some of our partners so that you can know about them. We have Marshall Christian Services, Second Chance Food Pantry that's feeding 700 to 800 families a month in the name of the gospel. You can always give to help them. Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center, 2 centers. We are seeing with the pregnancy centers double the number of people coming for pregnancy testing after the quarantine and COVID and all the things that have happened. People with great needs coming looking for help, and they get to hear the gospel. Messiah Haitian Church, we give to that, but you give individually as well to help make that happen. Our church planting partners in Alaska, our church planting partners in Brazil, our church planting partners in Uganda, the orphanage we support in Uganda, our church planting partners in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, in right here at the Bridge Church Plant, our newest partner in Geraldine, Alabama, our campus ministry partner in Pennsylvania, our mission partners in Central Asia in multiple countries, in Lebanon, in Egypt, in Senegal, West Africa, in the Middle East, and more. Listen, friends, you can be a part of any of that. You don't have to wait to see what we're going to do. You can just simply say, I want to invest in one of those. We'll help make that happen. We're happy to connect you to what God is doing. But remember, we are blessed with resources, and one of the ways to show gratefulness is to give. One of the best ways I can show gratitude is to give. Not just our money, but also our time and our talents. Our time, our talents, and our treasures. I read a story a few years ago about, it was his story. It was the guy speaking about it, a missionary to a remote part of India. And even in India, there are multiple dialects that are spoken. Everyone doesn't speak the same language. And this was a very remote part of India. And it was interesting that in this particular part, he was a medical missionary. In this particular part, there was something happening with what people were taking in food-wise and the lack of what they had and what was happening in the environment around them. But it happened over and over in this region. People were born with good eyesight, but the older they got, they were going blind. And it happened over and over and over. And this medical missionary was able to figure out a way to treat this progressive blindness. And it was something simple, but he was able to do it. And so found a way to help them. So people would come to him and he would treat them. And they realized that they would go blind apart from his help. And this man had really saved their eyesight. But this man tells this story, this medical missionary says, but all my time being there, no one ever said the words, thank you. And the reason is this, in this particular dialect of these people in India, there are no words for thank you. That phrase does not exist in their language. Instead, they had a phrase that meant the same thing for them. And they would say this, if you did something for them, so for this medical missionary, every time he helped them, they would look at him and say in their own words, what we translate into English, I will tell your name. That was how they said thanksgiving, thankfulness. I will tell your name. So wherever they went, they would tell the name of this missionary who had helped them with their blindness. And so every time they received something wonderful in their life, they were eager to proclaim it, and they would tell his name. Friends, can I simply say to you, as we wrap things up with this idea of thanksgiving, God has given you an incredibly good life. God has blessed you beyond measure. God's grace is at work in your life. So tell his name. Tell his name. Tell his name this week on Thanksgiving when you've got some extended family you'll be around. That maybe there's someone who's pretty down and out in life and they're having a tough time, or you know they don't know the Lord. Tell his name. Tell his name. to that coworker that seems to always be cynical and never too happy about anything and has been burned by church at some point, so wants nothing to do with being thankful to God about anything. Can you look at that person? Can you tell his name? Tell him about the goodness of God, what he's done for you. To that relative, tell his name. To that child that has wandered from the faith, tell his name. To that parent that is at the point of death, speak his name, the goodness of God. To that friend, coworker, whoever it is, someone you go to school with, let's tell his name. See, it's easy to just say, I'm thankful for this or that. It's another thing to make sure we speak about the one to which we are thankful. So speak his name to others today. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. Love those words. I see his promises in fulfillment all over my life. Don't you as well? Don't you see God at work in your life? If that's the case and you've been blessed, would you take a moment right now to stop and be thankful? Just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're at home, maybe just make a little private altar right there. Stop by in your own heart and mind right now. If you know Jesus, start by saying, I am blessed. And then would you take the next step and say, if you're watching from here in our nation, saying, I'm blessed to live where I live. The freedoms that I have, I want to make good use of them. And then if you have a Bible that you can read or one you can listen to as an audio book, if you have a copy of a Bible in some shape, form, or fashion, would you stop and say, I am so blessed to have the holy words of God. Life-giving words that do surgery in our lives, as Hebrews 4:12 says. And if you've been blessed with God's word, would you also stop and say what you've been blessed for by his resources? It's embarrassing at times to think about all the ways God's blessed me. It's so undeserved. So my commitment is I want to tell his name. So Father, help me to tell your name to other people around me, my friends, my family. Help me to tell your name to people around the world by investing in mission partners. Help me to tell your name to people in our city by being a part of what's happening through our faith family and by making a difference. Lord, help us all to commit to tell your name. You've been so good to us. Would you right now, just in the quietness of the moment as Jenny plays, would you just take a moment, speak words of gratitude to God. Make a renewed commitment to tell his name. Father, you've been so good to us. Thank you for the blessing of new life. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for provisions. Lord, thank you for health to be able to speak, health to be able to do the things that we desire to do and that you've called us to do. God, thank you for our children. Thank you for our grandchildren. Lord, thank you for even the hard times that we see you at work in us. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you that even in the difficult things, we see you at work, so we'll tell your name. That we're reminded of the opposite, the good times and how you have provided, and we'll tell your name. Lord, help us to live that out today. Lord, help me to live that out today. That's my desire, Father. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.